Check, check, check. This is Nolan McGillivray interviewing Myra Pierce for History 3450. The date is March 13th, 2019, and we're just going to conduct the interview here. So my first question for you would be, where did you grow up and what stands out to you about this place?
A little village in Northern Ireland, a place called Kilkeel, K-I-L-E-E-L. And the area was mostly fishing and farming, and my people were fishing people. I think my grandparent, one of my grandparents, on my dad's side, I believe he came from Kent in the southern part of England, but I'm not sure why he finished up where he did. Maybe he met his wife.
Quite possibly. And what would you say you recall most about your life in this place?
We were poor. And I have to say, I mostly felt that a lot of the other children had more than we did.
And so did that sort of affect your childhood growing up? Like, were you sort of always aware of that, or did it sort of come on later in hindsight?
I think we were pretty well aware of it at the time.
Would you say that would be sort of directly linked to your, as you said, being fishing people? Was sort of the economic climate in that industry sort of, was it hard to make a living in that sort of climate back then, at least?
Yeah, that's the one I did.
It was. It was. And things didn't change until after the Second World War. At least they didn't change much until after the Second World War.
So in regards to fishing, what kind of fish would they be catching out there? And, like, whereabouts would be sort of the fishing grounds, if you can recall?
Mostly it was herring.
Okay, Tom.
And it was, I presume it was not what you would call deep sea fishing. It was kind of more inshore.
That's okay, I'm just talking to you. I think it's Catherine, right?
And in more recent years, they fish for shrimp.
Yeah. In some of my own research, I kind of learned a little bit about just the general area in that sort of geographic location, and I was really surprised to find out that they actually, a lot of other European countries, actually fish sort of in and around the waters, in and around Ireland and the UK. And so I guess one of my big sort of questions about maybe your family's connection to the fishing industry is, how did that sort of directly relate to maybe your family's identity within Ireland at the time? Do you feel like your family maybe sort of identified with the culture of being fishermen at the time?
Very likely.
And so we kind of already covered what did your parents do for work, but maybe if you wouldn't mind elaborating, what do you remember most about your parents at this point in your life?
I'm just going to have it on my phone, if that's okay.
My mother was very smart. Intellectually, and She grew up in a fairly large family, probably about 7 or 8. She was the eldest. And in her school, which would have been a one-room school at that time, and she was what was called a monitor, and she worked with the teacher. So that probably says that she was a smart person. And she had a job when she was older and left school. She had a job with the town council, I guess it was called. And she met my dad, who was a fisherman. And they got married and had a family of 8, of which I was the 6th. Do you want to ask me any questions?
I was just sort of, one of my follow-up questions right here is maybe if you could elaborate on your relationship with your siblings at this point in your life. What sort of do you recall about sort of that environment being around them at that point in your life?
Don't forget, you're not talking very loud.
Oh, my apologies. I was just wondering what your relationship with your siblings was at this point in your life. And maybe if you could elaborate about what you recall most, sort of, about them.
I can never remember an argument of any kind with any of my brothers or sisters. We were very, very close that way. And my eldest brother, it was hard to get a good job. And I guess my eldest brother had always wanted to be a policeman, but it didn't seem possible in the circumstances. But he was smart intellectually, and the teacher, the schoolmaster, had him come down to his house. I don't know how many evenings, but he worked with my brother, and because he could see that there was a future there, I guess, for him. And he worked with him and helped him that way. And I was 10 years younger than him, so I don't really remember a lot of the details, but you know, I was probably 10 or so when he became a policeman, which was what he had wanted to do. And he was posted to a station in Belfast, which is the capital of Northern Ireland. And I guess every 2 or 3 years or so, they would sort things out, and he would be moved somewhere else, and then a few years later, he'd be moved somewhere else, right? So you're not too long in the one position, especially in the situation there with the Catholics and the Protestants. So he didn't want them to make good friends, and maybe to the detriment of somebody else. But my brother was never moved from that station. He was there all of his working life.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And so what kind of sort of, you mentioned sort of that the schoolmaster would come down and sort of help him out with his education. What kind of formal education in terms of maybe post-secondary education, did that exist in your family at the time?
It would be very simple. It would be grade 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so part of that would be sort of practical skills and things like that, as much as it was sort of, you know, intellectual development. Because I'm guessing with maybe, say, your other family members who got involved in the fishing, a lot of what was probably learned wouldn't have been through much of maybe a formal apprenticeship and probably more through application, correct?
Yeah, more or less, I suppose.
And just sort of another question about that sort of connection to the fishing industry. I was wondering, is your family still connected to the industry or at all at this point or no?
At this present day?
Yeah.
No. Things changed. And I guess partly what really happened was that after the war, Second World War, the fishing improved, with the result that other farmers even were buying boats and fishing and taking the livelihood away from the fishermen. And I wasn't at home around that time that much. I guess I would have been a teenager, I suppose. And I don't think what I was going to say. My brothers, each in turn, I had four brothers. They were all older than me. And the eldest one tried the fishing. And he couldn't get over being sick, physically sick.
Like seasick? Seasick on the boats?
Seasick, yes it was. And so he gave it up and he went farming. And the next brother tried it and he also had the same thing. And the third one. And I can remember well the night that the younger one, he was older than me, like, at the time he probably was 14, maybe 15, but more likely 14. And we were all, you know, the kids, we were all interested in whether he would be able to handle it because he was the last one.
Yeah.
And by that time, like, my dad had his own boat and so forth. And I can see him still coming down the road. And as soon as we saw him, he had a big smile on his face. We thought, oh, really, he has come through it. And it was a bad night. It had been blowing and raining and really nasty. He made it.
And so he sort of committed himself to the industry then after that, the fish industry?
And of course, after the war, they had real good boats, you know, expensive boats and that after the war. That's changed.
Another one of my questions here is a little bit more general and focused on you specifically. It is, what do you remember most about your adolescence?
About Northern Ireland?
Your adolescence, so sort of being younger in that time.
Okay. I thought you said the island.
Either or, you can go with either.
Yeah, sure. Why do I repeat it now?
The question was, what do you remember or recall most about your adolescence or at this point in your life?
What to say? I was very pretty.
Well, you still are. Well, you still are.
Yeah, I was very pretty. And we were teenagers. We'd go to the dances, like, maybe till 11 o'clock at night, like, we were allowed to go to the dance. And, of course, my brother, one or two of them, would be there, like, sort of take care of me. And there's no music in our family. There's eight of us. There isn't a musical one in the whole family. So whether that had anything to do with the fact that we didn't dance, and I just stood around. But I always got a boyfriend because I was pretty. I shouldn't be saying this. Is that a yes or a no?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's, like I said earlier, no matter what you choose to share in the interview will be quite useful for the grand scheme of things. Another one of my questions here, what was your first job like?
Well, I used to help out a neighbour. They lived in a beautiful big house in its own grounds. They were just practically neighbours of ours. And I worked there for a little while. I got 3 shillings and 6 pence a week.
Minimum wage.
And I forget what I was going to say. But the people that, the neighbours that I had, they got into financial troubles, and they had previously been more or less the people of the area, you know, as regard prestige, riches, whatever. And they started having taking in boarders, I guess you'd just say, but that was just summertime, and they'd come from Belfast and that and stay, and sort of as a result of that I met some people there, and the following year, I guess it was, I decided I was going to go to Belfast and look for a job. So I got in touch with one of these people, and she said, yeah, sure, come on, like, whatever. So I went to Belfast, and I think she must have put an ad in the paper or something, but I can't remember that. And this couple got in touch with me. They had a little boy. He was, I think, was turned 2. And that was my first job, was looking after that little boy. And his parents had a, I forget what they did. Anyway, they both worked in the city, like in Belfast. And I was there for about it must have been just after the war started. And they bombed shortly after. Yeah, shortly after I went to live with them, the first bombing happened in Belfast. And they were so nervous, especially the mother. And they moved to Bangor, which is a nice seaside town, very nice town. They moved there and took me with them, and shortly after that, I had an aunt, my mum's sister. Am I talking too much?
No, not at all.
My mum's sister lived in Belfast, and her husband was a little bit strange, shall we say, so they didn't mix very well with the rest of the family because of that. And so I decided I was going to go and see my Aunt Ginny, whether or not Uncle Ambrose welcomed me. So I went to see her, and everything went just fine. And I then looked for a job. It was the beginning of the war. I looked for a job in the factory, and I got a job in the munitions factory. And lived with them. And they had two girls and a boy, and another married daughter who wasn't at home. And I just fit it in there like one of, I don't know why, I just fit it in like one of the family. They just accept me. And that was that.
Wow, that's actually really interesting. When you were working at the munitions factory, is there sort of anything that sort of stands out about maybe that time and the culture that was, you know, during the war that you can sort of recall most about that?
I wasn't educated, so things like that maybe didn't bother me too much. And of course, it was wartime as well, you know, and you lived with that. But
what kind of like what were you doing specifically at the munitions factory? What would you say was your main
actually
role?
we were measuring shells. They were big, mostly. I think it was 17 pounds. That's in my head. It may not have been, but they were about this height. Mm-hmm. And we were measuring them for their width and height and stuff like that. There were other ones as well, but remember these best of all. I think because one fell on my toe one day. And the hospital was just down the road that took me to that.
Yeah.
And it was fine. They didn't worry. It was only bumping around. Mm-hmm.
Another question that I have for you. Is how old were you when you first came to Canada, and would you consider it a drastically different from the culture you were used to at the time?
Mm-hmm. Well, I told you about little Michael Piper that I would looked after him for about a year, and then he's leaving it. Where'd you get that?
The dining room table.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're okay with the water? Do you want horseshoes?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, are we jumping up to where we came to Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all four of us came together. We have two girls. And all four of us came together. To begin with, my husband said, when we talked about coming to Canada, and that really started out with my cousin went out to Canada before that, and his wife went and joined him, and she came back on holiday or to visit, and of course came to visit us, and I was always cold. And the houses were cold. They're not cold nowadays, but they were then. And I got talking to this, my cousin's wife, about what the houses are like out there. I said, I've heard that the homes are warm. I said, well, how are they warmed like? And I can remember explaining that there was a little vent in the floors, like, and the heat came up through that. And I thought that to myself, that must be just heavenly, to be warm like that, or I was always cold. So my husband and I talked about it, and he said, well, the only way that I would go, he said, would be if I could go on my own. So I agreed that it would do that. He had quite a good job. He had been in the Navy, British Navy, from the time he was 15 years old. And he was 29 when we were married. And I lose my train of thought. he said yes, that he would consider going, but only if he could go on his own and get established before he brought myself and the kids out. So I agreed to that. But as time went on, he said, you know, we're a little bit better off financially, he said, than I thought we would be. He said, I think we'll all go together. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was just so wonderful to hear that. So that's what we did. We all came together, and we came by boat. Mm-hmm.
And so how was that sort of trip for you then, on the boat?
It was okay. I was sick to begin with, but I got over that. But the two kids enjoyed it. One had a... what do you call the little thing that... It just has a long base, like, and the upright and the handle, and you put one foot on it.
Oh, a scooter?
Scooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them had a scooter. Another one had a ball. I don't know if I said anything else or not. The young one had a ball because she still remembers it. Somebody, a guy, kicked it and it went overboard and she lost her ball.
Oh.
But she was
devastating.
She didn't even cry.
So another one of my questions just sort of involving coming to Canada would be sort of, is there anything you miss a lot about your life in Ireland at the time? Or anything that is sort of more sort of Irish than Canadian that you feel maybe is lacking in the culture here? Or do you feel sort of now that you've been here for so long sort of connected to this culture as well?
Well, it might seem strange, but I never was homesick.
Really?
No, I never was homesick. It wasn't easy to begin with, but I was never homesick. I never thought, why did we do this? Ever.
No regrets? Ever.
No. And people who had come out before us, friends, not relatives, friends, and he had told us that... different things. He said, if you rent a place like to live in, don't fix it up, don't do anything in it, don't do anything to it, because if you do, then put your rent up. We came to Rockwood. You know Rockwood?
Yep.
Yeah, we came to Rockwood. And I wrote to my aunt in Toronto, my aunt and uncle in Toronto. I wrote to this cousin and her husband who were already out in Winnipeg. And I wrote to a friend of ours in Rockwood. And their reply was the first one we got. It came out to them.
Mm-hmm. And so how long did you sort of stay with them before you sort of really got established in Canada?
We weren't with them very long, you know. It was different than we expected it to be, we have to say that. I mean, all we ever heard about it, that Canada had everything and everybody lived on the best and had the best homes. And when we came to Rockwood, there was a bus on Harris Street, and there was a bus parked there in a little spot, and a family was living in it. That was just one of the things, but accepted it, you know. We went on, and we never looked back. We got, and this person that we knew, he was in Rockwood, as I said. And he said, you won't get anything to rent under, I forget what he said, it was $30, I forget now. It seems like so little now. But we were in the bake shop one day, and not very long after we came to Rockwood, like, and we were renting a place belonging to this family who we knew, and I said to Mrs. Saunders, you wouldn't happen to know if anybody has a cheap apartment to rent? And, just a minute, she says. So she picked up the phone and she made a call. And she said, yeah, just up the road here, she says, Frank Carney's, they have an apartment. I don't know whether she told us what the rent was, I'm not sure. I'm not sure now, like. But she said, come after supper. Well, we couldn't wait hardly.
Yeah.
Supper time. And we went up there, and it was a little apartment on the second floor that had two bedrooms and a big living room and a little kitchen. and there was a big oil heater in it. You've probably seen the Mayan oil heater.
Yeah.
Big new one it was, too. It was less warm in there, but that was June.
Yeah.
We arrived on the first or second of June. So we could hardly wait until after supper. After supper, we talked too much?
No, not at all.
After supper, we got in the car. Oh, I didn't tell you about the car. Maybe you hadn't thought it then. I'll tell you about the car afterwards.
I appreciate
it. So we went up there, and they had a hardware store, but they had china and stuff like that in the store. And he was a plumber, I think an electrician and a plumber. And they had two boys, two sons. And they took us up to see the apartment. It was an outside staircase, like stairs up to it. And they took us up and to show it to us. I think it was $25 a month. And we thought we'd gone to heaven.
Yeah.
We got. So we said, you know, we'd take it and that. And we never looked back. We were in that apartment for 5 years. And to begin with, we were there, I forget how many months, not very many, and they hadn't put the rent up or anything. So we mentioned something about that to him one day. I know Frank, I can still see him. He says, well, he said, Edith and I, we talked it over, he said, and we thought we'd rather have you folks in there than maybe put the rent up and get somebody we didn't like. So he didn't put the rent up.
Yeah. That is actually so interesting that you mentioned just Saunders Bakery, because that's a place I've been going to since I was just a kid. So I'm very familiar with the bake shop.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I can't eat the Sugar Loop donuts anymore because I have diabetes, but they were ever good when I was a kid.
Oh, they were good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's very interesting. And so I just got a couple more questions. We've sort of reached the end of my interview guide, so I don't know if there's anything else you would sort of like to share. I'm really interested in hearing about this car you mentioned.
Oh. I don't know how long we were out. It was only days, a matter of days that we were out, because they come here like after Ireland. It's so big.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't
get anywhere.
Without a car. So John went looking for a car. I can't remember where I was. I probably was. Probably we all were, because we were all new together.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a black car. It was an older model, but it was perfect. There wasn't a bit of damage or rust or anything on it. And it was just $135. And we were able to pay cash for it.
Yeah.
And that was our first car.
Well, that sort of concludes the majority of my questions. I guess we can sort of wrap up this interview anytime now. I would just like to say thank you for participating in this interview session. It's been really interesting to sort of learn a lot more about you. And I can gladly say I'm looking forward to doing my write-up on this interview. I know earlier you expressed some doubt in anyone actually wanting to hear sort of your story, but I think it's very interesting nonetheless. So I just sort of like to thank you for participating today.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
All right. So I'm just going to cut the recording here.